can know the healing impact of what is a terminal illness for all of us, our struggle with sin. Through Jesus, we have been given freely a new condition, a new heart, if you will. I like to call it a spiritual restart. Through Jesus, our relationship with God is now something that has been restored. That's what the cross was all about. It's why our worship space is filled with such symbols, to remind us again and again what God has done out of love for us. But for some strange, and I dare say an incomprehensible reason, rather than living our lives out filled with a sense of renewed joy and freedom for what we now know is our status before God, being set free from the hold of sin, being restored and made new in relationship with God, many of us still choose to live without God. We muddle through life half-heartedly, doing the best we can, never feeling like we've ever gotten enough or are enough or have done enough. And so half-heartedly we seek to soothe and salve our broken hearts with the fleeting pleasures of life that are here today and gone tomorrow. Friends, I stand before you today to ask, why is that? Why is it that we're willing to settle for a half-hearted experience of living that God has always had in mind for us? God, who is the Lord of all life, He not only wants to give you and me a new lease on this life, but He has a way of showing us how to experience it abundantly, far more than we could ask for or even imagine. Maybe our problem is that we're so busy in this life wishing for something more that we completely miss what God has already given. I've noticed in my preaching over these last several weeks, and as I draw closer and closer to a time of thanksgiving, I'm very aware of the things that I often take for granted, and I'm trying to discipline myself to give thanks for those things that are so significant and are often overlooked. Years ago, I discovered a poem that was kind of sobering to me, but it still speaks powerfully about the choice that we all make in life, unfortunately. It goes like this. First, I was dying to finish high school and start college. And then I was dying to finish college and start working my first job. And then I was dying to marry and have a family. And then I was dying for my children to grow up and become old enough so that I could get back to my job. And then I was dying to retire. And now I'm dying. And I suddenly realize I forgot to live. Forgot to live. Friends, there's an alternative script for our lives that is boldly and refreshingly proclaimed today in God's Word. We don't have to go through this life of ours half-heartedly, never feeling fully in tune with the life that God wants for us. But if we want to experience the power that God has for our lives, we need to start asking a soul-searching question. Do I really want God to be a part of my life? Am I willing to offer God center stage in my heart and in my life and in my choices? In essence, this is what you confirmands are going to be asked as Deacon Joanne speaks some intentions toward you. And those of us who are here gathered surrounding these young confirmation young people, we by association are also invited to ask ourselves the same discerning question. It goes like this. Do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism, to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the world. And then Deacon Joanne's going to speak these words directly to you young people. And I hope that you will respond from your hearts, but certainly not half-heartedly, but with a heartfelt conviction. As you say boldly in front of those who have gathered to hear, I do, and I ask God to help and guide me. Friends, it's moments like these, in the midst of our faith journeys, for which I'm always grateful. Because we're all challenged to honestly take stock of our faith every time we gather together in places of worship, and to consider again, where do my convictions lie, especially when it comes to God? We say we want to live according to God's ways, but the truth be told, how often is it that we prefer choosing our own paths in life? And then we wonder why we don't experience something that's real, something that's thrilling and satisfying, especially when it comes to communing with God. Dear friends here gathered, confirmation young people, are you and I trying just to live out our lives of faith half-heartedly these days? One half seeking God when it's convenient, just now and then, and the other half seeking our own paths. I read a story not too long ago of a woman who was seeking God. She had this specific dream, and she kept having it over and over again. Each time, she saw herself standing in front of a huge plate glass window, and she was certain that as she looked through the window, she could see a reflection of God, an image of God just beyond. So she, at first, tapped on the window to try to get God's attention. And when it didn't seem that God was paying attention to her, she started hammering on that window. And finally, out of desperation, she started shouting at the top of her voice. Suddenly, a quiet, calm, reassuring voice responded to her. And he said, "Why are you shouting? There's nothing standing between us. I'm right here, right beside you, where I've always been." Friends, I can't help but think that that dreamlike image is illustrative of some of our own journeys in faith. How often do we convince ourselves, God doesn't listen to me, God is distant, God is unapproachable, God is difficult to access? And so we just wander around in life, fearful, frustrated, feeling like we're all alone and we've got to do it all ourselves. Never realizing that through it all, our Lord has always been where he's been. Right beside us. God with us. Just waiting. Waiting to set us free, waiting to empower us, waiting to inspire and strengthen us. On this very special confirmation day, a day that we also celebrate the reformation of the church, I think it's high time that we take seriously this question of our lives. Where is God in my life? And where are my convictions about God? My prayer is that we're not missing out on the truth, the truth that's always been available to claim. The truth, as simple as it sounds and yet as profound as it is, the truth that God's love is for us. God loves us unconditionally. God loves us without limit. And it isn't because of something that you and I do to please God, because Lord knows we fall far short of that. It's because God will stop at nothing to be in relationship with each and every one of us. And that's really what the journey to the cross was all about. That nothing would stand between God and the people that he loves. No half-hearted commitment from God, mind you. Jesus was all in for each of us from the very beginning. So the question is, what about us? Should our response be anything less to this one who loves us so much? Friends, what I've told you today is not some half-baked truth. It's full of meaning. It's relevant to our lives. It can be not only life-changing, but life-giving. It's the full truth, the truth that God wants us to anchor our lives in. God is with us. God is for us, in order that we might truly be free and become all we were created to be. So it's no wonder Jesus said to his disciples long ago, and still to those of us our disciples today, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. The question is, will you claim it? So friends, let's count on it. Let's believe it. And let's live as if it were so. Thanks be to God.